Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Returning, Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show, to talk more about it. Tim, how you doing today, man?
I'm good. Am I the old face returning? Or
no, you have a young face on an old body, my friend. So
we all feel it, man.
But it looks like Yovani Gallardo back in the fold. What do you make of this?
Well, I think it's providing some depth at the very minimum. I mean, he's had a rough go the last couple of years. You know, 5.5 plus ERA, and he hasn't had a good run. And maybe, you know, you did see what Jeremy Jeffress did, and his numbers were not good in Texas. He comes to Milwaukee, maybe he just gets re-energized a little bit, and he pitched very well. So maybe they capture that sort of lightning back into the bottle here with Yovani.
I don't know. I mean, the big thing that they talked about when we had Craig Counsell on with us was innings. You know, get innings. Yep. You need guys that are going to eat innings. Is this your innings eater? I mean, you know, this seems like a complete lateral move to me.
No, right on the money. Right on the money. And that's why it's like, yeah, okay, we'll get some depth. Maybe things go south for a guy. Maybe there's an injury. And, you know, as Counts always says, you know, things happen. We got a lot of time between now and then. And maybe Yovani becomes that asset like, wow, lucky we had Yovani because this, that, and the other thing happened. But you're right in that that was his issue here, that really the one beef that I had against Yovani was that, you know, he was going 5 1/3 and 5 2/3 and pitch count is working up. He's throwing heavy early on in games and just working that pitch. And you could see a mile away that he wasn't going to make it through six. And so that it seems a little hypocritical, though. They want to get additional outs. They get a guy that, as a starter, doesn't, you know, achieve that in great success.
So the off season has not been something. I mean, we've heard nothing but Cubs, 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 Cubs. Okay, we all know that the Cubs are making a play because their team is right there, ready right now. And I know that's frustrating to Brewers fans. But what do you think they should be doing? I mean, because to me, it was my thought was all about pitching. This was all about getting some guys that could eat some innings, figuring out that second base prospect, and moving on from there. And there hasn't been much. I know Ian Kinsler was a guy that they were interested in. He ends up going to the A's. So what now?
That was the intent, and Stern said it. Counsell told you. I mean, to you personally, mm-hmm. that, you know, their objective was to get pitching and get guys to out-getters is what he was talking about. And they haven't done that yet. And here I'm thinking, you know, there's a philosophy out there that says, well, hold off, 86-win team last year. Let's wait until we find out if that's for real. And I think that is the absolute wrong way to go. Because what if it was real and you didn't tack onto that and you still came up short? I think you have to show those guys that we believe in you and it was real. You won 86 games. Now we're going to come get you some help here and make it even better. You know, because if you wait, Bill, and not tack onto this what they've got now, and they come up just a little short, you've lost another season when it was right there. So I think it's a good gamble. I'm not saying break the bank with an Arrieta, but I think better than what they're doing now, an Eric Davis signing. Who? And then Yovani, sort of middle-of-the-road signing. There's not much in movement yet. I think there will be, though.
What do you think about this second base position? Is VR going to get a legitimate shot, or do you really? Because the sense that I got when I had asked them about that, you know, hey, you got a couple of spaces, blah, 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 and I thought, okay, second base, VR, is he going to be the guy? And instead, he went right to the discussion of free agency. Is VR getting a shot, or do you think that he has fallen off the board, zero options left, and you know he's going to make the squad unless they end up dealing him? But do you think he gets a legitimate shot, or do you think that this is still a hunt for a second baseman outside of the organization?
I think it is a cursory hunt to a degree. I don't think they want to go 3-4 years on a Neil Walker. I can tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got Sogard to flank right in there. They've got the youngster down in the minors, and then they've got VR. So if they can't get a deal done, max of 2 years or whatever it might be for a veteran, then I do think it's handed right back to VR. But the leash has got to be one-third of the season. It's got to be 2 months. And I think he needs to talk about being pressurized. Yeah, he knows what's on the line here. If he does get that opening day nod and he's the starter, he's got to perform in 2 months or they got to go in another direction. So can he recapture what he did in 2016? I mean that's the key. And is it worth a gamble of 50 games, 60 games through April and May? I think it is, if that's what you've got. Maybe he does recapture, you know, 75, 85% of what he was. That's still pretty good.
Do you think, how long do you think they keep Diaz down in the minors? Diaz was in Double A last year. He's a guy that's considered by many to be a high-end prospect for this organization that can play both second base and shortstop. He would be a guy that, if, in my opinion, especially a left-handed bat, that if they can end up making him... Huh?
Diplon?
Ehsan Diaz.
He's still a ways away, though, I think. I still think they want some maturation through him. He is going to be higher end, and they've got other guys. You're right with Diaz, but they've got some time with him, and I think it's a better gamble outside of going with the rookie, because you're still going to have inexperience there, and either Brinson Phillips or both. Who knows what's going to happen by then? But if you want to tack another inexperienced guy in there, I think they're going to wait on that.
The only reason I ask is because you would assume through this rebuild, if this isn't the year, next year expectations start to become high. And they may take a regression this year. They may take a couple of steps back, lose three or four more games. But
yeah.
I think next year, not this coming year, but next year is the year that I think a lot of people kind of circled and said, okay, that's when you want to hit the ground running, because that was kind of the window of expectation, that third, fourth, fifth year when things are supposed to start to progress. So this was their second year technically. So now when you look at this, people are going to say, okay, how much longer do we have to wait and how much more talent do we have to hear about down in the minor league system before we start to get a good look at it?
I agree, and I think that the organizational plan would be to put the pedal down a lot more in the offseason 1 year from now, because the free agent class is better. I think there's some decent players on final years of contracts at that time. So you might be right in that, but at the same time, I still think that you can compete here with what you've got. Tacking on just a little bit, not mortgaging a large portion of the future, tacking on to what you got here, maybe you do pick it up a couple of wins, 2-3 wins from the 86, and you end up into the playoffs. Now you've got playoff experience, and then you put the pedal down for 19. That's the best of all the worlds.
I have some expectations of this team this year. Something in my gut is telling me, because, and I'm not saying that it's done, because a lot of the great groundwork for trades and deals and free agent pickups and all that kind of stuff, that goes on at the winter meetings. You don't have to walk away with some of the prizes at the winter meetings to have a successful offseason. But something in my gut's telling me that they're being extremely cautious, because the overpaying, the actual value for what you're getting dollar for dollar, is minimal right now, and they're going to wait one more year before they start to push those chips to the middle of the table. And next year's free agent market is much, much bigger and deeper pitching-wise than this year's free agent market.
Yeah, I think you can do a little of both, and that's just where I'm at. You can do a little of both, tack on to what you've got here right now, and then enjoy that, as you said, the free agent class and the offseason of 18. Fine, and then you tack on even more, but Bill, their payroll is minuscule.
Right.
I mean, it's not like they can't afford to invest another. Let's just say a generous estimate would be $20-25 million.
Mm-hmm.
Can we tack that on? Okay, let's not be generous. Can you tack on a 15? Can you meet me at $15 million to bolster what you've got
right now?
You started the payroll last year with $61 million. Garza's off the books, just off the top of my head, at 12.5. You gave a rate increase to Chase Anderson, and you've got some natural raises going on, but you got to get some more money out there. $60 million, That's going to hurt you.
Well, if you don't spend it, I sure as hell hope you're putting it in the bank to spend on a later date. You know what I mean?
I want to wait and see if that comes to fruition at all. Because, Bill, in your wildest dreams, what would be the top end in the next three-year window of payroll for a season for the Brewers? Top end,
I would say, if you actually have the talent, you believe you're ready to go, and you go out and get yourself a pitcher or two, which, by the way, Tim, there's a whole other fascinating discussion regarding pitching I'll get into in a second, but top end for me would be a $150 million to $200 million payroll.
I don't see that happening.
See, I don't either, but when people talk about the Cubs and say, well, this is what the Cubs did, the Cubs got some really good draft choices, and then they went out and supplemented, and the year they won the World Series, they were close to $300 million in payroll.
Yeah, I could see the 130 mark at, 130, 135, maybe somewhere in there.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to get it done with that, because I just... fiscally, I don't know if that makes sense for where the bean counters sit.
Real quick before I let you go, a great discussion on the MLB Network the other day about starting pitching and about the value. And Kershaw's notwithstanding. But some of these pitchers that are looking for $200 million deals that think they're going to get it, when starting pitching right now is 5 2/3 innings on average, and your middle relievers have become much more viable, your setup men have become much more viable, and a closer's become much more viable, I don't think the same amount of money is going to be out there unless you're Clayton Kershaw type of pitcher. I don't think some of these pitchers specifically next year are going to get the $200 million deals that they're expecting. I think pitching is going to start to come down because you're not seeing guys go into the seventh and eighth inning anymore.
Yeah, totally agree. And we're seeing that year in and year out the last 2-3 years, that you're right, the middle innings and the late inning arms are just paramount. And you see it every year. These guys are going to the well back-to-back games and going multiple innings. And that's why, on another note, Josh Hader, I think he's a good ace in the hole for just that type of guy. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, you're right. The money's got to come down. It probably will.
Tim, always a pleasure, man. We'll talk again soon, okay?
Thanks a lot, Bill.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later. There you go. Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.